As all of you know, we have an upcoming presidential election here in the United States of America. And in my opinion, it's without question the most heated presidential election I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, the hate that is on both sides is absolutely ridiculous. And in my opinion, I also believe it's the most important presidential election I've ever seen in my lifetime. Much is at stake in this election, not only for our lives, but also for the next generation. I'm talking about the future of our children and grandchildren. In this episode of the Grizz Podcast and in some of the other upcoming episodes, I'm going to attempt to help you understand some of what's at stake in this upcoming presidential election and what you as a Christian man need to do about it. It's a huge deal, my brothers, a huge deal. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
Yo, what's up, all my brothers from other mothers? Thanks so much for taking the time to tune in and listen to the Grizz Podcast, the fastest growing podcast for Christian men in El Salvador. I got an email last week that our podcast was climbing in the charts in El Salvador. I was like, what the heck is going on in El Salvador? But you know what? Hey, praise God. Muy bien. Gracias, El Salvador. Anyway, I took a 3-day weekend this past weekend and went to the beach, Ocean City, Maryland. I was able to relax and get a lot of reading and writing done. I also got to watch some Netflix at night. I've been watching the series called Cobra Kai, which is basically the Karate Kid movie characters like 30 years later. You remember the Karate Kid, such a classic. You know what? We got to take a trip down memory lane right now. Let's go to that moment at the end of the movie, the first Karate Kid, the All Valley Karate Tournament, when Johnny takes out Daniel's leg and then Daniel gets up in agonizing pain and manages to pull off the crane technique karate kick to the face to defeat Johnny Lawrence in the All Valley Karate Tournament. We got to go there. It's amazing. Here we go.
The new champion!
I love it. I love it. So anyway, my boy Mike Regina up in New Jersey turned me on to this series called Cobra Kai. It was on YouTube TV, which he had a subscription. We were vacationing together, and I was watching a few episodes with him. I don't have YouTube TV, but now that Cobra Kai is on Netflix, I started watching it. And honestly, dude, it's so cheeseball that it's actually funny. Well, to me, it is. Old Daniel LaRusso and his arch enemy, Johnny Lawrence, are still going at it some 30 years later. And my buddy Mike Regina warned me. He said, man, Johnny is so politically incorrect as a grown-up in today's world. I mean, he just says things that you might be thinking or you might often want to say, but you're afraid to say because somebody's going to be offended nowadays or somebody's going to cancel you nowadays. Man, Johnny Lawrence in Cobra Kai, dude, he has me dying laughing at the things he says and does. I warn you in advance, though, there's definitely some crude moments. The series is definitely not appropriate for children. You guys can check it out if you want to. Let me know what you think. Anyway, I was supposed to be finishing up a deck staining job today that I started last week for my company, Home Touch-Ups, but it's raining here in Southern Maryland, so I'm definitely not staining any decks right now. Then I texted another customer that wants me to stain a new interior double door that she just had installed in her basement, but she never got back to me. That's how it goes on rainy days. So I end up catching up on office work, you know what I'm saying, paying bills, deleting emails, responding to emails, writing up estimates, scheduling data entry for future financial reports, filing receipts. I hate doing all that stuff, but you know, it's got to be done. Fun. I did work out this morning. I've been much more consistent with that. Did some weight training in my garage. I told you guys that's where my son and I made a home gym. I did chest and triceps today. Then I actually did 5 sets of jump rope, you know, jumped it like 50 times for 5 sets. Jump rope is hard, man, but that's a good workout. And then I went for like a 25-minute bike ride around my neighborhood. Nothing real intense. I can't do anything real intense right now with my health issues. If I overdo it, dude, I'm out for like weeks. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. So I know it's not a lot compared to what some of you are doing, but it's something. And you know what? I'm down to 185 pounds. A few years ago, I was like 240 pounds. And then this past winter, with all my health issues, I actually dropped down to like 168. And I was just extremely sick and weak this winter. It was kind of scary. And I'm finally beginning to get some of my strength back and to gain some more muscle. Man, I'm telling you all of that because I hope you guys are doing something to get yourself in good physical health. It matters, man. I'm serious. Do it. Make it a lifestyle change, not a goal, not a diet, not a program. Just commit to making healthy eating and exercise a part of your life habits. Start small, be realistic, baby steps, go after it. I know this for a fact, guys. If you're in shape and you're healthy, you have a much, much greater chance of something like COVID-19 just giving you a rough week or two rather than putting you in the ICU on a ventilator. I've had a few friends who have gotten COVID-19, and every one of them who kept themselves in pretty good shape, they ate healthy, they worked out, those were the people that were able to blow right past it. I'm not saying it wasn't rough for a while, but they were able to fight it off and get over it. The ones who didn't do those things with their life, it has not been so good for them. I have a friend who is barely hanging on right now, a guy friend of mine. That right there ought to show all of us how important eating healthy and working out truly is. Everybody wants a pill, a cure, a vaccine. I'm not opposed to those things, but it seems no one is really talking about the one thing that we know does actually work to overcome such things as COVID-19 and a multitude of other serious health issues. A healthy body, a healthy immune system. Don't underestimate that. Remember, Paul told Timothy, physical training is of some value. That doesn't mean we blow it off if it's of some value, because we're just going to focus on the super spiritual things because we're so super spiritual. You're a freaking moron. That's what you are. Anyway, let's take a quick commercial break, and then I'll dive right into the real meat of this episode as we talk about politics, voting, and manliness, part one. Yep, I'm going to go there. So here, well, I'm not doing that. It's not here we go. I'm not doing the intro. A commercial break. Here's the commercial.
If you're looking to cut porn out of your life, you need Covenant Eyes.
And if you're trying to support your partner through their struggle with porn, you need Covenant Eyes too. When I found out about Chris's struggle with pornography, at the time I was devastated. I felt like the problem was me, like I wasn't enough. Still, I wanted to help Chris overcome this, but how could I help Chris recover when I had my own emotional wounds reopened every time he struggled with porn?
Covenant Eyes woke me up and made me realize I was wrong. I was destroying my marriage and causing my wife a lot of pain. All right, here's how it works. Just get started by downloading the Covenant Eyes app and reach out to an ally to help you. An ally is someone non-judgmental who's been there for you before, like a sibling or a close friend. For me, that was my buddy Jeff.
So periodically, your ally will receive a report of any online activity, and any risky activity is called out in the report.
Covenant Eyes creates a healthy space for spouses to heal. After Chris got Covenant Eyes, I knew Jeff would be getting those reports and helping Chris out when I couldn't. And that was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders.
Before Covenant Eyes, I often found myself feeling weak in tempting situations. But now, knowing that Jeff will know if I struggle, that's enough to give me the extra strength I need to win the fight.
In the end, Covenant Eyes not only helped Chris heal, but it helped me heal too. We started to rebuild the trust in our relationship. He stopped hating himself. He became more confident, and our relationship felt more honest and connected. Overall, it made a huge difference in our marriage.
So sign up for Covenant Eyes and start your journey to becoming porn-free today.
So download the app for Covenant Eyes or go to CovenantEyes.com and sign up. And when you do, use the promo code GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N, GRIZZIN, and you'll get the first few weeks completely free just to try it out. I have to keep Covenant Eyes on all of my devices. I don't trust myself in a weak moment. Been there, done that, and I'm not proud of it. I need Covenant Eyes, and I'm pretty sure that most of you, you do too. So as I said earlier, we have an upcoming presidential election here in the United States of America. And as I said earlier, in my opinion, it's without question the most heated presidential election I've ever seen in my lifetime. As I said, the hate is on both sides. It's completely insane. And in my opinion, I also believe it's the most important presidential election I've ever seen in my lifetime. Much is at stake in this election, not only for our lives, but also for the next generation. I'm talking about the future of our children and grandchildren. I'm going to attempt to help you understand some of what's at stake in this upcoming presidential election and what you as a Christian man need to do about it. It's a huge deal, my brothers, a huge deal. But before I get into any of that, I already know that some of you listening may think the Grizz needs to stay out of politics and just focus on helping Christian dudes become the men whom God's calling them to be. Yeah, I just read your mind, didn't I, Chucky? You know, you're thinking something like, just stick with evangelism, Grizz. That's what you're good at. Just stick with discipleship, Grizz. Just stick with teaching the word, Grizz. Just stick with the theological stuff, Grizz. If that's what you think, let me grab a sip. If that's what you think, you got an extremely limited view of the Word of God, of theology, of real discipleship, and of what it truly means to be a real man, a godly man, a Christ-like man. You see, the Word of God, our theology, our values, and our deep moral and spiritual convictions, they should impact every area of our lives, including our priorities, our calendar, our to-do list, our job, our work ethic, our appearance, our health, our fitness, our diet, our sleep habits, our media and entertainment choices, our finances, our relationships, our marriage, our parenting, our dating life, our friendships, and even our choices on who and what we vote for and don't vote for. There should be no area of our Christian lives that we separate from the Word of God, our theology, our values, and our deep moral and spiritual convictions. Some of you think you're so super spiritual because you just focus on God and you stay out of anything to do with politics. And you're not. You're not super spiritual for that. That's actually super shallow and super unbiblical. The fact that so many Christian men in this country over the last 100 years or so have quit caring about political issues in this country and quit speaking out about them and they quit voting and they quit running for office, newsflash, guys, no wonder we've been getting what we're getting here in America. Oh, I don't really like the choices. It's pathetic. No wonder we've been getting what we're getting here in America. Well, I'm just going to read my Bible, and I'm just going to pray. And honestly, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. I mean, after all, Jason, that's our only real hope. Yep, I agree with you. In one sense, yes, Jesus is our only real hope for forgiveness of our sins, for true inner peace and joy, for eternal life, for a better life and a better body with a better mind and a better world. That's what he's promised is coming for his followers. Yeah, he's our ultimate hope. And you know what? I've been trying for the last 27 years to take as many people with me as I can to that better world. For some 27 years of my life, I've been actively involved in spreading the gospel to lost non-believing people. I've literally, by the grace of God, shared the gospel all over the United States, up north, down south, east coast, west coast, Midwest, flyover states, on Indian reservations. I'm not exaggerating. God has given me some incredible opportunities to evangelize all over this great country, and I've seen God save thousands upon thousands of people. God has also allowed me to share the gospel overseas in places like Moscow, Minsk, and Nicaragua. That's still one of my main missions in life. But guess what? While I'm here in this jacked up world and in this jacked up country, the United States of America, I have a duty as a follower of Jesus Christ to apply the truths of Scripture to what's happening in our country, in our government, and in our culture as a whole. I'm not called to isolate from all of that and just, I don't know, go live in a Christian bubble like some kind of monk in a monastery. I'm called to be his hands, his feet, and even his mouthpiece to this jacked up world. I'm not just here to spread the message of the gospel. I'm also here to do whatever I can to make this world and this country a better and safer place for others, for this generation and for the one that follows after us. As a Christian man, you're called to do the same. Theologian Wayne Grudem says this: forgiveness of sins is the central message of the gospel. That's the only way people's hearts are truly transformed. He goes on and he says, he believes the gospel transforms people's lives. That's what I believe as well. It doesn't just save you and get you out of hell. It transforms lives. He says, God's grace changes people, and as a result, they change everything around them. Families are renewed, schools are rejuvenated, businesses reorient their mission and purpose. What's more, the gospel of Christ, because it changes hearts, changes the course of civil government. The late theologian Carl Henry believed that Christians as citizens have a duty to work through civil authority for the advancement of justice and human good. Galatians 6:10 tells Christians, do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Wayne Grudem goes on to say that such good deeds include commending and criticizing policies that affect the poor and powerless. We teach church members to do good works in hospitals, schools, inner city neighborhoods. So why would we exclude government? Our good works there are as in other spheres. Our good works there as in other spheres give glory to our Father. End quote. Theologian Wayne Grudem. I love his systematic theology book. Great book. Go get it. Think about it. Throughout the pages of Scripture, we see this. You think God's people weren't involved in politics and government issues and trying to make a difference in the society in which they lived, a difference for good, to make it a safer and better place? I'm like, have you even read the Bible? God's people were not just focused on the next world. Yes, that was the main focus, that there's a better world coming, and we want to take as many people as we can there. That's our main home. But while we're here, my gosh, we gotta get our heads out of the sand. Think about Daniel, who told King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful ruler on earth at the time. He said this in Daniel chapter 4, verse 27, therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. Dude, Daniel, as God's man, is speaking up related to not just the king's personal sin, but even the sins that he's committing as a government leader. These sins, the way he ruled, the politics of the day, the legislation of the day, it was sinful. And he said, you need to change that as a king because that's right and that's good. And that's what God would want government to do in this world. Read Romans 13. Think about Joseph as Egypt's second in command. He often advised Pharaoh on political matters. You never thought about it that way, did you? But that's what he did. Think about Moses getting involved in Egyptian politics and actually telling Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time, that he needs to let God's people go, the Jewish people, let them go. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They had no rights. They experienced major racism, segregation, hate, and violence, all because of their ethnicity. It was the law of the land. But Moses stood up and said, this ain't right. God says, let them go. Did Moses get involved in politics? Yes. Dude, the very nature of listening to God and what God told him to do, it was highly political. I guess Moses should have kept quiet, read his Bible, and prayed more and waited for Jesus to come back, right? No way. Moses, dude, he stepped up, he manned up to make the world a better and safer place for his people. Moses was grizzing. I can go on, guys. What about Esther? At the time when Esther lived, the Jews were under the rule of the Persian king, Xerxes, and he was going to annihilate all of the Jews. I'm talking about a literal, total genocide was about to go down. But Esther's uncle, Mordecai, love that name, Mordecai, influenced Esther to use her position to go to King Xerxes and petition for her people, the Jews. Esther stepped up and womaned up to make the world a better and safer place for her people. I guess she should have just kept quiet, read her Bible, prayed more, and waited for Jesus to come back, right? No way. Esther was also grizzing. The king listened to her. The genocide never happened because she got involved in politics and made a difference. In the New Testament, John the Baptist was quick to confront government officials about morals, even scolding Herod the Tetrarch for, and I quote, "for Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the evil things that Herod had done." Luke chapter 3, verse 19. In Acts 24, we see the Apostle Paul speak with the Roman governor, Felix. What did he speak to him about? And I quote, "about righteousness and self-control in the coming judgment." Paul held Felix accountable for his conduct as a public office holder. According to verse 25, Felix was alarmed and he sent Paul away. Dude, Paul got up in his grill. I thought about even closer to our more modern times. Let me grab another sip here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my heroes, man. You don't know who he is? I will be happy to tell you a little bit about this brother. He was a Lutheran pastor, theologian, and anti-Nazi dissident. And he was a key founding member of what was called the Confessing Church. His writings on Christianity's role in the secular world have become widely influential. And his book, The Cost of Discipleship, which is right here on my desk in front of me right now, has been described as a modern classic. Apart from his theological writings, Bonhoeffer was known for his staunch resistance to the Nazi dictatorship, including vocal opposition to Hitler's government euthanasia program and his government genocidal persecution of the Jews. Bonhoeffer was speaking up out against that stuff. And he was arrested in April 1943 by the Gestapo and imprisoned at Tegel Prison for 1.5 years. Later, he was transferred to Flossenbürg concentration camp, and after being accused of being associated with the July 20 plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler, he was quickly tried along with other accused plotters, including former members of the Abwehr, which is the German military intelligence office, and then he was hanged on April 9, 1945, as the Nazi regime was collapsing. That's Dietrich Bonhoeffer, dude. Pastor, theologian, author, spy. Dude, plotting the assassination with others, the assassination of Hitler, because they knew he was evil. They knew that that governmental power was evil. They were in opposition to it, and he ended up being a martyr for it. So don't tell me to stay out of politics. For me to remain passive and silent about political issues in our country, I realize it's not Christ-like at all. It isn't biblical. It isn't manly. It isn't grizzing. It's weak. And honestly, it's burning in me. I'm not going to stay silent anymore. And I realize now, looking at scripture and looking at church history, I'm not supposed to stay silent and passive. And let's just talk about spiritual formation in your life as a man. Dude, this is an aspect of your life as a man, who you need to be and what you need to be doing. I got something to say. And I got something to do when it comes to politics, when it comes to voting. You know, the separation of church and state, it does not mean that Christians are to stay out of politics. Our founding fathers actually designed the separation of church and state to keep the government from interfering and even controlling the church. Never did the founding fathers of this great democracy intend to distance government from the influence of Christian values or to prohibit Christians from applying biblical principles in their influence upon government and legislation, the laws. Guys, we're to be the salt and light in this jacked up world and in this jacked up country. We stand on truth. We proclaim truth in love, even when it's not popular and even when it's politically incorrect. We need to fight for life, liberty, and justice for all people, even the unborn, because we believe that all people are made in the image of God, their creator, and they're also created equal before him. Before God, all lives matter. Black, white, Native American, Jewish, Middle Eastern, Asian, rich, poor, Christian, Muslim, atheist, prostitute, etc. Before God, all lives matter. But that's not a politically correct statement in America in 2020. But I don't care because it's a biblically correct statement in 2020. Many consider that statement, all lives matter, to be racist. But it's not at all. It's actually incredibly anti-racist. I don't understand what people are doing with words. They're redefining everything. They're twisting truth. Why does this shock me? Guys, the main thing I want to get across for this episode is that we as Christian men need to be involved in politics and voting. We need to be well informed. We need to do research and know the major issues our country is facing. And we need to know where the candidates line up. And we need to vote based on our Christian values and convictions and for what is best for the safety and prosperity of our nation, not just for this generation, but for the generation to come. Trust me, guys. My ultimate hope is not in any country of this world, government, political party, politician, or president. My ultimate hope is still in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the world to come. I will continue to proclaim that, but I will not be some weak, passive Christian with my head in the sand when it comes to political and cultural issues that can endanger the safety and prosperity of this country where my kids and grandkids are going to grow up. I'm not just here on this planet to lead people to heaven. I'm also here to be a change agent for good in this broken and jacked up world. And so are you if you're a Christian man. So you step up, you man up when it comes to political issues and voting this November. I've got more to say on this, but that's enough for you to chew on for now. Hey guys, honestly, if you like what you're hearing with the Grizz Podcast and if it's helping you in your own Christian life, then please consider becoming a monthly supporter. Some guys give $50 per month, some guys give $25, some guys give $10 a month. You give whatever God lays on your heart. This podcast is not possible without financial supporters. And straight up, I'd rather be doing a lot more of this than staining decks and painting houses. But right now, I do what I have to do because that's what men do. But this is my real passion. Thanks to all of you guys who are already given to the Grizz Podcast. I really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a monthly supporter, simply go to narrowtrail.com/give, narrowtrail.com/give, and you can set it all up. It's safe, it's secure, and we will provide you a record of your giving each time you give for your taxes because we are a legit 501c3 nonprofit ministry. And you will get the tax write-off for giving to the Grizz Podcast. As you go to that page on giving, you can choose. There's a drop-down box to give specifically to the Grizz Podcast. I'm going to end this episode with one of my favorite scenes from one of my favorite movies, the movie Braveheart. It's the scene where William Wallace challenges his fellow Scotsmen to fight and to be willing to fight and die for freedom. What will you do without freedom? That's the question he poses to the men. Great question for all of us to consider in times like these. I'm out.
I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. All right? Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
To the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.